our help and only expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 3, 82, 1 and 2. Lord, thou hast searched me, and thou know whether, wherever I rest, wherever I go. 1 and 2, 382. Congregation, the reading out of the Holy Scriptures can be found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 6. Before we'll confess with the Church of all ages and places our undoubted Christian faith with the words of the 12 articles, and then after the reading of the Scriptures will be read unto us Article 1 and 2 of the first chapter of the Canons of Dort.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The scripture reading is Psalm 6. To the chief musician on Neginoth, upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Next we will read the first head of Doctrine of Divine Predestination, Article 1. As all men have sinned in Adam, lie under the curse, and are deserving of eternal death, God would have done no injustice by leaving them all to perish and delivering them over to condemnation on account of sin, according to the words of the Apostle, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Romans 3 verse 19 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6 verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Article 2. But in this the love of God was manifested, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. 1 John 4 verse 9. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3 verse 16.
Let's speak the faith of the Lord in prayer. May we for the second time on this thy day come together in thy house, the house of prayer, we come at thy footstool. Give us a deep impression of thy holiness and thy majesty, but also thy goodness and mercies, that we might be humbled in the sight of thee and beg for grace to understand the truth, that our eyes might be open to it, that we won't divert from it or change the doctrines of grace according to our own desire. But we pray, Lord, that it might be known, and it might be known by experience, the things which we confessed even this afternoon out of the canons of Dort, our fathers, who searched the scriptures, have confessed these truths publicly in the Netherlands and worldwide. They have searched it on their knees, who now has protected them for 2 years, although the plague was there, and it didn't hurt them. Oh, the man, we're God-fearing man, and thou hast blessed their endeavors even until today. Lord, we pray that the doctrines of grace might be known among us by our youth, by our elderly people, by the old in age, that we would study it, but that we would study it prayerfully, not only to know these things by our minds, but by our hearts to believe. Lord, remember the sick and afflicted we bring before thee. Mr. Gelderblom, when this week suddenly a son in young age of his sister in the Netherlands passed away. What a tragic burial, but what a tragic death. Oh, some people think it's done when we die, and it's just the beginning of an everlasting eternity. We pray that thou would bless thy word unto us this afternoon. Remember the work of mission. Please remember the ministers around and the consistories, the teachers and the school boards and all the endeavors that has to be done and will be done at schools, where it might be. Remember our young people, that they may be in subjection to their teachers and especially to their word when it's preached to them and taught them, I hope by those who are no strangers to it. Remember our youth, the babies who can pray. Wilt thou pray for them? Father, forgive them. They don't know, still don't know what they do. Lord, the work of mission in Malawi, and the family Oman is preparing to leave, and the family Vanderbass leaving his family behind, many children and grandchildren had a calling to go to Malawi at the Bible school and among the congregations, but also the family Oman when they are preparing to get back to the Netherlands, to their old village near Hemert. We pray that he might be used also in the Netherlands, and when he is sometimes here, that thou would use him also here. Remember our students in our congregation, Zach and Jared. Lord, give them that zeal and love from the end today to be busy in the things of thy Father. Enlighten their understanding, give them lasting endurance, even when they are sometimes attacked, probably, and make their ways smooth. Thy ways are the best ways. We need young people also here in the United States and Canada and in the Americas. We need some in Israel to be a witness of the son of Abraham, the only one, like thou hast promised to him, to be a blessing unto him and to his seed. Lord, we pray that the promises might be fulfilled and that we might see the conversion of the Jews. The world is in upheaval every day. People are dying by bombing and hatred. In the United States, there is a fight to be the president, but thou knowest who it is and will be. But we pray that thou would take his heart or her heart, although we don't know what's thy purpose. But anyways, the heart of the president, that thou wilt be their King of Kings. Remember all those, and also here in Canada, our Prime Minister, our Queen in England, the ministers, and we pray that thou would keep them at thy word. Although we fear, that's the other way around today. But thou art King of Kings, Lord. Oh, please, keep and protect us by thy truth. Also, in our ministry this afternoon, give us a bright and clear understanding of thy truth, and that we might be useful in thy kingdom also this afternoon, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, we have said that we would like to deal with the canons of Dort. There is a preliminary question. I always am attacked by people who are saying to me, you shouldn't teach the doctrines by the confessions. And then they say unto me, they say, we have the Bible, that's enough. They attack me in the United States. They attack me in Europe and say, no, only preach the Bible. But I tell you this, every church says that it preaches the Bible, even the Catholic Church. Although the Catholic Church says not only the Word of God, but also tradition. But every Reformed Church says that it preaches the truth of the Bible. Arminians and Reformed people. Brethren and Amish people, they all believe they have the truth, and the only truth. Every article in their Book of Church Order, if I may say, first article normally is that they teach the truth out of the Bible. But congregation, it's not only the truth, but how do you explain the truth? How do you understand the truth? That's important. And that's of great value. And when I read, and I'm going into it a bit before I go to the canons of Dort, in Acts 2:39, after the Pentecost blessing, when the Holy Spirit filled them, then you see church life. And the first thing they did, and they continued steadfastly, immovable. In what? In the apostles' doctrine. In the apostles' doctrine. And that means how the apostles explained the scriptures. They did it different than the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians. There were all kinds of sects. But the apostles taught in the way of Christ. He had given them the key of understanding. And they were continually busy with the doctrines of grace, like the apostles had taught them. And in a sense, that was new. It's not new. But in the days of Israel, they thought it's a new doctrine. Even the Reformed people in the days of Reformation said it's the new teachings. It was against the Roman Catholic tradition. Now I'll come to it a bit more, and then we speak about the content generally of the Dort's canons. There are five headings. And I go by easy remembering, and you know of the past, I dealt with it here again, and now I do it again, that it's according to the word tulip, tulip, tulip. T-U-L-I-P. And T means total depravity. L means, U means unconditional election. God doesn't choose people because of something. He chooses without condition. L, limited atonement. Christ didn't die for the whole world, but he prayed for his own. Irresistible grace. If God conveys grace and gives you grace, you can't resist it. You might resist it, but won't win the battle. It's irresistible grace. And the last point of Reformed doctrines is P, perseverance of saints. God will never leave you nor forsake you if you're a child of God. It's all of grace. And that are the Reformed doctrines which we believe were given to us by Christ and the apostles, the doctrines of the apostles, found in the scriptures. And I think there we go. This afternoon we deal with the first heading, that's predestination. And even when people hear the word, they murmur. But therefore the first article says that your mouth should be shut, if you see your own depravity and guilt. Don't argue with God about election. If there was no election, there was no grace. First, your mouth should be stopped arguing, only believing in the revelation of the Word of God. And we see two things. We see in the first place sin and guilt, and in the second place we see grace in Christ. First two articles. Especially the second article deals already with some of the predestination without a condition. But let's first sing that 383 1 through 5, where we will sing, all that I am I owe to thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, has fashioned me. I give my Maker thankful praise, whose wondrous works my soul amaze. 1 through 5, 383. who teaches us the right doctrines out of the scriptures? Who? And there's only one answer. That's Christ. He, by His Spirit, inspired the prophets, Moses and David. They were inspired by the Spirit of Christ. And now Christ, when He got the word, and He preached in the synagogues, He delivered them the true meaning of the scriptures. And think about it, that He had a lot of antagonism. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and other sects, the Essenes, kind of monks in the days of the Lord Jesus. And they all had their own understanding of the scriptures. But Christ taught the true meaning of the scriptures. And He gave that tradition to His apostles, whom He taught for 3 years. So the authority of the understanding of the meaning of the scriptures lays only in Christ and the apostles. Surely, Moses would have agreed upon it. But this is the center. We have to explain the scriptures like Christ explained them. And He gave that explanation tradition to the apostles. There is the authority of the understanding of the scriptures. Not the Pope, not the theologians of today, but Christ. Now let's give an example. The Pharisees believed that sin was only sin if you had done it. Actual. They didn't know that your heart could sin. Your desires were sinful. They neglected it. They said, that doesn't count. Only when you do it, it's sin. Now what happened? The Lord Jesus said, if you look to a woman to desire for her, you have already made an adultery. See, there you have the difference. Christ says, even your inner thoughts and desires are for the judgment seat of Christ, sin, your being. In congregation, I believe, and now I have to deal a bit more with the truth. The Pharisees and the Roman Catholics and other evangelicals believe not that the man or man since fall in paradise is dead in trespasses and sin. They believe you're sick. And by hearing of the gospel, you can make a decision yourself. Do you know what they didn't believe? And there started the problem in the Dutch church by the remonstrants. They didn't believe question and answer 8 out of the Heidelberg Catechism. They objected to it. They said it made sorrowless and ungodly people. And this is the question. Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Is it so bad with us And they said, no, that's not. You have a will for good. You have a free will. They said, oh, this is not the truth of the scriptures. And then the answer, indeed, we are wholly incapable and inclined to all wickedness, except we are born again, being made a new creature, set free from the slavery to sin to the liberty of the children of God. But to be honest, even today, if you preach this truth, you got a lot against you. If I would start preaching, and I do, and I even feel sometimes in my own heart and with you too, are we wholly incapable? Of doing any good? Is it so bad and inclined, always bending to all wickedness? Now be honest, I have a question. Do you believe this? Or are you objecting a bit? Say, no, Pastor, I am a nice and neat man, and I'm educated proper. My mother taught me what's good and bad. And you know, to accept this, you need discovering or convicting grace. Otherwise, you will never accept it. If they would say to you, hey man, you're a wicked man, and you're thinking you're doing good, no, you're doing no good at all. Would you like such a preaching? Or would you say, now, yeah, it's first and last time, and unless God shows you. And there starts the first article concerning election. Second thing that I have to say is, I have first to say that there was objection against question and answer 8 in 1618 by the Remonstrants. And yeah, I've dealt with it. Why? With congregation, then what was their idea of a man? I've said it already, he was sick. What was their idea about the election? And I'm going to the first head. That God elected those people whom he know, or he would know, or he knew that they would believe. God chooses believers. No. That is conditional election. God knew who would come and answer the call by himself and would believe. So don't say to me that the Remonstrants didn't teach election. They taught election, but a conditional election. God knew who would in time come to repentance, and repentance was even a work of yourself. It was not grace. And faith was a decision of yourself. Now, God saw who would do that, and then he would choose them. That's condition. Then the honor and glory would hinge on a man's decision. And that's not true. It would mean that if no one would choose for God, there was no election and no salvation. So our fathers fought for the honor of God in salvation. Listen, I have to go back even. So the remonstrants came with this kind of thought of election. And they brought it in 5 points, five headings. Now, do you know what our father said? Wrong, deadly wrong. Throw them out of church. No. No, they didn't. They asked the state of Holland, the states of Holland, and Prince Maurits to call together a national synod to deal with these questions. There were five headings, and now I have the first. And Prince Maurits, you know that Prince Maurits, by the grace of God, chose the side of the counter-remonstrants. And you have to think that in those days, there were many remonstrants. The whole Utrecht province was remonstrant. In The Hague, most ministers were believing that conditional election and other wrong words out of the scriptures, or word wrong explanations of the scriptures. But Maurits, one day, he went to the church in a side lane, and he gathered with the old contra-remonstrants, Bohrman and others. What a grace was it. There we saw that the king of the prince of the Netherlands, Prince Maurits, chose the sides of those who confess the truth of the Heidelberg Catechism, of the tradition of grace in the church. Now, well, congregation, if we know this, then we see that the Dutch Synod, and I have to say this there, they didn't make an easy decision. They studied for 2 years. Listen, they studied for 2 years to know what's the truth. They didn't say to the remonstrant, you're wrong. They said, let's listen to the scriptures. What do they say? And they studied for 2 years. They listened to the Bible. And there were pros and contras, and people came from all over Europe, except Germany. The Lutherans didn't come. For they said we should have dealt with the justification of the ungodly. That was also an opening to fight the remonstrants, but I'm not going into that detail now. You see, all the people coming together, all the ministers, all the professors, and you have probably seen sometimes that picture. They came all over Europe and begging God for the truth out of the Bible, to confess it. Who were right, the remonstrants or the old confession of the Heidelberg Catechism, the old Reformed doctrines? And I have to tell you one thing. In those days, especially in 1916-19, there was a plague. The pest, the plague, in the Netherlands and also in that city. And it didn't touch any of the people of God. And they stayed at their posts. They didn't run away. It's like God covered them with sheltering grace, that they didn't become sick. And after 2 years, there came a confession out of the scriptures, proven by the scriptures, of the truth of TULIP, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of saints. And now, wonderful, the first heading of dealing with predestination is conviction. When I speak about unconditional election, I always have people against me and say, this is not right. Why the one and not the other? They contest the sovereignty of God. He is the potter, isn't it? Is God the potter? Yes or no? And may he, is he able to do and is he right to do with the vessels he makes, the one to the other and the honor and the other not to honor? We always fight with God. Do you know why? In the theology, sometimes it's man-centered. We bring God for our judgment seat. But if God comes in your life, you are brought for the judgment seat of God. And your mouth is closed. You stop arguing. It's a wonder that you are still here. And that you hear the gospel. And there is the love of election. And it's sovereign grace. It's eternal love. Election is not just a counsel. It's eternal love. Jacob I loved. Esau I hated. Is God allowed to do with his own what he wants to? Do we need to bring God for our judgment seat? Do you dare? Is your mouth closed by convicting grace? And congregation, then Paul gives three texts for it. Romans 3:19. And I'm going into it. Romans 3:19, and let me read it a portion. Romans 3:19. You know that the letter of Paul to the Romans is the second doctrinal letter. The first doctrinal letter of Paul is Galatians in time. And the second doctrinal letter of Paul to the congregation of Rome is the second. And you know that the letter of Rome has three partitions: misery, faith in Christ, salvation, and thankfulness. And 9:3-11 is election. But there are the three parts of the Heidelberg Catechism. Now, what's the first part? Knowing my misery. I normally, with my catechism classes, once a year read this portion. Let me read it. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there in circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some didn't believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Oh man. Can you preach it today, every man a liar? As it's written, that thou mightest be justified by thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness command the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? Is it right for God to take vengeance upon sinners? Shouldn't he have mercy? God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God has more abounded through my lie, the truth of God more abounded by my lie. your life, my life, your life, my life. And to his glory, why yet I am judged as a sinner, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. And now he continues, and he says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. He has judged the Jews and the heathens in the chapters before. He says, listen, are we better than as Christians? And he answers, no, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they all are under sin. As it's written, and again, absolute truth. There is none righteous. No, not one. Not you, not me. There's none that understandeth. They're all fools. They don't understand the truth by nature. No, not one. Yeah, but I, Pastor, I. Oh, yeah. I thought so. No, not one. It's judgment over me and you. There's none that understandeth. Mind. Righteous is due. Understand his mind. And seek his desire. That are the three main things in man's life. Do, understand, and affections. There are three part of the soul. Now he says also, there's none that seeketh after God. Yeah, but I'm seeking. There's none that seeketh after God. Yeah, but I'm seeking. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not you, not me. And then he continues. Their throat is an open sepulcher. We wish each other death. How many times have you said, choke? Or desired your enemies to die. Met their tongues, with their tongues they have used deceit. Don't trust your even your dearest friend, says the Bible. The Lord Jesus didn't trust his disciples, he said openly. I know some are hesitating already while I'm reading this. There's poison of apps in their lips. If you could, you would poison your friend by your mouth. Whose mouth is full of cursing. No, Pastor. Okay. Shall I write it? Their feet are swift to shed blood. You see it today, and your feet are the same. My feet. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear before God in their eyes. And now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped. Stop arguing. and all the world might become guilty. That's the purpose of the law. That we accept judgment as a guilty sinner. That's conviction. And I hope it happens here, or has happened. I argued with God in my life. But he showed me my own mouth is a sepulcher and my tongue is full of poison. And he got to get me guilty. And I stopped arguing. He closed my mouth. Being guilty before God. Now, if that happens, then you don't need to argue about election. Then election is a wonder of all wonders. That God, although all are so, by eternal love, has chosen himself a people into salvation in Christ. Then you don't argue about election. Then you say, do you know what's election? It's love and grace. I have given you an example. It was a friend of mine. He worked in the polder in the Netherlands, and he had to gather leeks. And then I don't know what happened with the leeks, but some were getting old, slime. Leeks can be slime. And they had to find out which leeks were still good. So they got a new pocket or a basket of leeks, and they had just argued about election. And my friend said to the man who had argued about election, he said, you see, all the leeks are full of slime. Let's throw the whole bunch away. He said, no. He said, let's see if there are some to be saved. God says, don't throw them all away. There will be some which will be saved. By sovereign grace and eternal love in Christ. Now he could throw me away. You too? Would you argue with him? You would plead upon the promises of the gospel. But can you argue against it? Has your mouth ever been closed under the judgment of God? Is there a moment in your life that you accept it? By grace. Never to be saved anymore. The door closed. Do you know, wonder? Luther says, I fell from the highest step of the ladder. And I said, lost, lost forever, righteous lost. He gathered me and kissed me with the kisses of his mouth and put me in heaven in Christ Jesus. And congregation, this is the true doctrine. And now we start talking about election. That's different. Is our mouth ever be closed before God? Be honest, please. Has there ever been a time if God says, I don't want to have to do with you anymore? You say, yes, Lord. Thou art righteous, but in hell I will even praise thee. No, I am. Now you're talking a strange language. No, I'm not. For God is anyways good. Although I don't. And I'm not. Let's sing. 143 and 4. 143 and 4. Where we will sing together. 143 and 4. I'm evil, born in sin. Thou residest truth within. Thou alone, my Savior, art. And what's following? 3 and 4, 140. So why is the law given? And that's last what I'm saying about this article, and I read it again. The law is given for conviction, knowledge of sin, no more. That it might be the pedagogue, the taskmaster to bring you to Christ. I read the article and then I leave this article. I hope you might have known it or will know what it means. All men have sinned against in Adam and lie under the curse and are deserving eternal death. And God would have done no injustice by leaving them all to perish and delivered them over to condemnation on account of sin, according to the words of the apostle, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Romans 3:19 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23, for the wages God pays sin, and the payment for sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But now, like this morning, there is a word, but. For us, it's done. But God says, but. That's a wonderful word. That's a word of the wonders of wonder. But God loved his own and want to show mercy by righteousness. Understand what I'm saying? And then you see, and let's read this article and come to it. But in this, the love of God was manifested. In this situation, God revealed his love. In the darkness, he shines with the light. That he has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. 1 John 4:9. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let's make it plain and easy. It's not easy, but in doctrine, God sent it a substitute. Salvation is always substitutionary for his people. He sended a substitute to do the will of his Father, perfectly the law. The law didn't condemn him. He said to his disciples, who can convince me of sin? No one. Pilate sought it and he couldn't find it. Caiaphas tried it and he couldn't find it. No one can find it. I talked to a man out of the world, and he had read the Bible, and he says, one thing I've read, that he had no sin. I said, you're right. Even in the Quran, they said about Isis, that's Jesus, that he had no sin. In the Quran, it says about the Lord Jesus that he had no sin. They believe he's a prophet. They don't believe he's the Son of God, but one thing they say of him, he had no sin. And I shouldn't have any sin. Do you know what he says? I'm doing what you can do. I obey the law for you. Most perfectly. And gain eternal life for you. He was my substitute. And although he was righteous, I cut it short. He was made sin, my sin. Although he had not sinned, he was cursed in behalf of me at the cross. Well, I should be cursed. hanging at the cross. And at the cross, Christ was cursed by his Father, who was hanging on the tree, is cursed. Saul was hanging on the tree, cursed. For we didn't keep the law. Oh, children of God, he was cursed for me. Who can understand these things of eternal love of the Father who gave his Son to satisfy righteousness? When he had paid a penalty and the Father accepted payment, he couldn't stay in death. And you know, God raised him and said, "My Son, it's finished." His resurrection is your assurance that it's finished. He was raised for our justification. He died for our sins and he's raised for our justification. That's the love of God, first for himself and then for his people. He satisfies the righteous requirements which we forfeited in the fall and sins. Oh, congregation, I go with you to Genesis 22. The Old Testament. And God said to Abraham, "Sacrifice thy only beloved son, Isaac. He must pay for your sins." Yeah, but he is a son of promises. And Abraham said, "I'm sleeping a bit in." He awoke early, took wood and fire, and went with some servants to the Mount Moriah, that's Jerusalem, where Christ is crucified. Genesis 22 is the one most important chapter out of the Old Testament. Abram has seen his day afar off and embraced him. And he went silently. If you would know Hebrew, you would hear the sound of the steps. His mouth was closed. Oh, people, when your mouth is closed, God cannot do any wrong to you. Suddenly, a little voice, "Father, the fire and the wood, and where is the lamb? My boy, God will provide himself a lamb for sacrifice." And there they went. "Isaac, I'll tie you up, boy." And he laid the wood. But before he would lay him on the wood, he had to kill him, to sacrifice him. And the moment he took the knife, the angel of the Lord interfered. He says, "No, Abraham, no. Now I know that you fear the Lord. Not withholding as a sacrifice your own son. But he cannot pay. Even if he would be crucified or put to death as a sacrifice, he couldn't take away your sins, Abraham." Abraham knew it. God will provide himself a sacrifice. And then he said to Abraham, and that's love, "Not your son, your son, but my son, my only one, whom I love." He can take away the curse and by his death take away the death. and by his cross take away the judgment of my people. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, whom he loved, as a sacrifice for the people of God, who have a closed mouth, and can answer on 1,000 questions, not a single answer. For God so loved the world, John 3, that's the sermon to Nicodemus. People today take always the first part, and it's work in us without us. But if that's happening, then you come to the cross, and by faith, that's the active site of regeneration. Then he took my place. Oh, congregation, may I ask you, have you experienced some of it? That you were worthy to be put to hell, and your mouth was closed because you had sinned, and a broken and contrite heart. But have you seen him revealed to your soul as a sacrifice that has delivered you from the curse and death, and set you free to the praises of God? May I ask you? Yeah, Pastor, I know that's true, but I'm not asking if you know it's true. Is it your truth? May I ask you, have you tasted that love of the Father who gave a Son to you? Have you tasted the love of the Son? Have you tasted the love of the Holy Spirit who applied it to your heart? Are you reconciled to a triune God? And congregation, this is lacking today. They all have a God, they have a covenant of grace, and they believe and they make the decision. Nonsense! Paul says he is revealed to my soul. Apocalypse opened. May I ask you, are you set at liberty by him? Have you tasted the love of the Father in the love of the Son by the love of the Holy Spirit? And do you believe that God does it because you believed first and therefore he loved you? Or did he love you and therefore you believed? We'll see in the next how God works faith. Only that believe in him. But that's a work of the Holy Spirit by the preaching of the gospel. That's the next article. So faith belongs to grace. I believe when God gives you Christ and reveals him to your soul as your only sacrifice, he gives grace of faith to receive him. The same moment. And your eyes are opened for the beauty of Jesus. So faith is not a condition. It's given while Christ is revealed to your soul. Therefore, McChain says, the hour I first believed. The hour I first believed. But here's the man, he says, Pastor, I know it should be, but I can't reach that point. No, it's grace. And the way to it is closed mouth, convicted, accepting judgment. And no one does it by nature. We all argue. Election. Do you think I'm so bad? And I can do something good. I can make a decision. And they teach you all that hocus pocus. But you have already made a decision for the wrong. Do you know what's grace? God made for you a decision for the right. He gave for God so love. And that love is manifested in the darkest night of your soul. There the love is tasted. When Christ is revealed to you and you believe the first hour you believed, hey, Is all in him glorious? Is the righteousness of God glorious, even if he condemns you? Yes, eh? And is the righteousness of Christ glorious if he covers it? And now we go and with Moody and Finney and make our own decisions. I think they're all going to hell. For they never cut off and never had a substitute. And therefore this morning, it's all outside of me. Life is in him. My precious Goel, my precious substitute. All what's in him is desirous. Oh, he is my bridegroom, my all in all. Oh, young people, if you may taste that love, you're spoiled for the world. Really. I know many things in the world, your old nature. But if you have tasted, I always ask the Lord to, and I said, Lord, show my children and grandchildren, teach them that love, then they are spoiled for the world. For the world can't attain that glory, that mercy, that goodness. And I read it for the last time. For God so loved the world that everyone that believes. And now I'm here, and someone is saying, I can't believe it. I don't know how to believe it. I don't know. Next article. God works faith by the preaching of the gospel. And the gospel should be preached here and on every pulpit to those who are in the uttermost darkness, losing all hope in self, saved by grace and righteousness in Christ only. For his holy name's sake, O congregation, may I ask it, am I preaching wrong things? Were you arguing with me when I read Romans 3 and said it's too bad to preach like it? And I don't like these texts. Okay, take it out. You're more liberal than you think. You always object liberal theologians, but if this is the truth, why not surrender to it by grace? And say, yes, Lord, I deserve not to be hurt anymore. But I'm pleading on thy word that whosoever believes on him will have eternal life and not perish. For God's sake, for Christ's sake, by the application of the Holy Spirit who takes it out of Christ that preached it into you, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, that it might be here the explanation not only and the surety of the gospel, but that they might get to know themselves as condemned sinners, saved by sovereign grace in Christ, by the love of the Father and the love of the Son and the love of the Holy Ghost, by the sacrifice, the substitutionary sacrifice, the substitutionary life and the substitutionary sacrifice of that dear Son of thee, who became man, my substitute, by obedience and by sacrifice. Oh, that I might have that peace tasted. Then I am spoiled for the world, although that inner man is a new man, but that outer man is always attacking it. Lord, make us to stand on that foundation that's laid from eternity, in the council of peace, in the election of love for all thy people. Lord, we pray that it might be experienced here, that the law to condemnation and grace to salvation in Christ by his sacrifice alone. Remember us next week, bring us together that service. Extend thy kingdom here, Lord. I pray for young people that thou would work in their hearts, please. And in my heart, in the heart of the elderly, in the heart of them who are not here today and don't want to come anymore. Have mercy upon us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing lastly 337. 1 and 3, isn't it? Yeah, 1 and 3. 337. 1 and 3. Where we will sing together. Thy wondrous testimonies, Lord, my soul will keep and greatly praise. In the third, direct thy footsteps, my footsteps, to in thy word. 1 and 3, 337. What a wonder if you would go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.